For so many of us, the idea was to overwhelm the jails in terms of the incarceration facilities. We had enough black and white people who were willing to go to jail for purposes of civil disobedience and purposes of adopting a moral stance against racism and discrimination or Jim Crow, that we were able to bring hundreds of people in from the city, state, and around the nation. People came from everywhere to fight. This became a national focal point for the struggle for integration, and we were able to get many people to who were willing to suffer the indignities of being incarcerated or jailed for the sake of speaking to the question of justice and fairness.
What led to the desegregation 7 weeks later on the same day as the March on Washington? Was it just the decision of the park management, or was there...
Well, as I recall, there was a negotiated settlement. You know, we had people like Reverend Robert Newbold of the Grace Presbyterian Church. You had Reverend Frank Williams of the Metropolitan United Methodist Church, Reverend Marion C. Bascom of the Douglas Memorial Community Church,
these are all icons of civil rights.
Yes, they are. Reverend Sidney, yeah. Reverend Sidney Daniels of the Emmanuel Christian Community Church. We had all of these strong black spearhead, tough-minded preachers who supported the initiatives of Martin Luther King Jr. and others in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and in fact the NAACP, CORE, and CIG. And they said, we're gonna pursue this thing until victory is won. And of course, there was a talk of trying to have us cease and desist from demonstrating to determine whether or not they would in fact open their doors. And we said, and I was part of the what they call the more militant students at that time, because I was still a student at Morgan, and that was that we will not negotiate any settlement. We had nothing with which to negotiate. We had to win. And the winning meant they had to open their doors. There was no way in which we could justify holding off or suspending demonstrations, picket lines, and marches. We refused to suspend that, and I demanded that we not suspend our demonstrations until we achieved total victory, which meant the integration of the park.
And I understand it was integrated on the same day as the March on Washington, and somebody told me that wasn't by accident. Is that true, or was it deliberately that date was picked?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. I know that I've heard the technicality may be that the agreement was reached on the 26th of August. I've heard that the 26th was the agreement, a formal ratification in writing to integrate the park, but that notice of that integration was timed to coincide with the actual march on Washington in August of August 28th of 63. So that's what I can tell you, only what I know from experience. I was not a part of the negotiating team on the with regard to Gwin Oak Park. I was part of the fighting team, the marchers, the foot soldiers, with respect to demands that equal accommodations be made available to all people.
So what was it like the first time going into Gwin Oak Park without getting arrested when they allowed you to go in?
Well, it was a revelation. I mean, you know, I think I rode on the, if I recall, I was on the roller coaster and a few of the rides. I walked around. I was happy that we had achieved our goal, but I wasn't euphoric. You know, I wasn't exactly tap dancing, because I think they did the right thing because we forced them to do the right thing, and we should not have had to force them to be fair to fellow Americans, who, by the way, this country, by way of reminder, was built off the backs of slave labor. And that's why there are those of us till this day who call for reparations. The United States is one of the richest, if not the richest country in the world today, because for 500 or more years, it had people who were not paid for their services, slaves, and of course they had indentured servants as well. But slaves anchored this country in terms of its economy, and that's why this country still owes us a debt of gratitude.
I had heard that after 1963, from some African-Americans who went to Gwin Oak Park, there were still, even though they were allowed to go in, there was still some tension. They would still be looked at suspiciously, that sort of thing. Did you,
In all candor, I only visited Gwin Oak after the integration victory, maybe three or four times personally. I didn't go as often as others. I heard there were tensions. There were still racial slurs being thrown about by some of the whites who were there at the time. And, of course, we know that, what was it, that Hurricane Agnes, kind of 1972, finished them off in terms of the physical destruction of the amusement park. But, there was continuing, not excessively so, but there was continuing conflict. There were some words being passed. There was some ugliness that continued for a number of years after the formal integration of Gwin Oak Park. And what can you say? People die hard. And in fact, I'm looking at where we are today, and I'm saying here in 2013, where are we? And I'm not sure. We seem to be moving in a circular fashion back to the past. I don't